Welcome to Geek Salad, a podcast about two guys talking about their passion for anything geek, from the digital world to the not-so-digital world. Now here are your hosts, Randy and Jay, a LaRock.
Hey everybody, back again with another Geek Salad. I am Randy, the mischievous meeple, and with me as always is Mr. Jay A. LaRock, the obsolete gamer himself. What's up, Jay A?
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, we're back after a small hiatus of real life getting into the works. Real cool thing is we're coming now with, is this episode four, five? I don't know. It's been a while.
I believe.
Four. Okay. Episode four. Hang out to right afterwards. You will not be a glitch in the matrix. We will be having a second Geek Salad where we're going to do our big E3 special. I was thinking of doing it in one show and then realized like we could do just a show on E3. So that's what we did. So yes, it's not a glitch in the matrix. There is a second episode after this. But I will say it's good to be back. It's been a long day. It's been a long day of recording podcasts today. So if we're a bit loopy, it's because we are in about hour number two or three of doing this.
And I'm hungry.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. Okay. And of course, we're doing the one show that is based on food. So, okay, let's get going. You know what? I'll have you go first today with your, what you want to present for the show, my friend.
All right.
You had one that looks really, really cool.
Yeah, I liked Magic the Gathering. Not so much to like try and do tournaments or stuff like that, because that's never my thing. Like, I was never the kind of person, especially when it got to the point where there's certain things you have to buy. I like just playing casually, especially when you could play using any of the cards from back in the day, even though any Magic the Gathering gamer will tell you that there's just certain cards that were just stupid. But with all the different ones that come out and the fact that you can go on Amazon and buy one specific card, and you know, like for $1.70, sometimes 40 cents, you can actually build some really fun decks. And if you're playing with friends and it's nothing like crazy competitive, you know, it ends up being really fun. From there, like, I saw games like Hearthstone. And the thing that pissed me off with that is it seems like one of those games where if you didn't get in at the beginning, then you don't have much of a chance. Obviously, people will come in here and tell you, and they'll show you videos how people are, you know, owning with like the very basic cards. But I've talked to many people who just play the game. If they're not there trying to buy booster packs and you know, make dust so they can create their special cards, you end up getting owned. And what really killed me about it is the lack of single player. I expected Blizzard to at least allow you to play against the computer more and play more in story mode and not immediately go into versus, even though I understand that's what they're trying to do. But, I mean, it's kind of like with Heroes of the Storm. You could play against the computer all day and have fun. They should do the same thing in Hearthstone. What killed me is that I went through the whole tutorial, and I went through the little missions, and I get in my very first match, which is supposed to put me with other people who are my level, complete noob, and immediately the first person I play is dropping legendaries, not one, not two, almost like a full deck. And it doesn't matter how good I am, how good my strategy is, I have basic cards. I have maybe one half rare in my deck. So that kind of bothered me. So this game, Star Crusade, is really awesome because it basically takes that same type of card game, mix in sci-fi, war, and it's really interesting because first, it's free to play. And obviously, it's trying to get you to buy things. They have things, Fracta, I think is called their currency. You have credits that you can buy certain things with, and you have Fracta that you can buy certain things with. But what I at least found, at least at the starting of the game, because that's where I am, I'm not deep into it. At the starting of the game, you're able to not only play a lot of the story mode and practice mode and earn booster packs, cards, and things like that, but when you actually played rank or casual gaming, it would actually rank you with people who had the same cards. You know, maybe every once in a while someone would have a few more rares than you and put together something else. But I played like 20 games, and I only probably had one guy that had a lot of rares, and I still beat him with my basic cards. So, I mean, that from the start was fun. What's great about this is just the fact that, you know, it's sci-fi battle. You basically have all these different factions and you pick a commander. So if you're Terran, you'll have these things called modules. You can pick from three different modules. And what's interesting there is it'll be things that you activate based on energy. Energy you can gain whenever you do an action, like an attack, or you play a tactics card, which will have something like, you know, boost all your minions 1-1. One being attack, one being health. You know, pretty standard for these card games. And then what will happen is that some of the special effects will be like put a shield on or equip a blaster so your actual commander can attack and things of that nature. So it's really cool because you have all these different factions. I think it's like eight factions in total. I may be wrong about that. But I think it's about eight different factions that all have different little things and specific cards that you can only use with the faction as well as your general set of cards. So you can mix and match and find out which playstyle works for you, or you can jump around with different things. So you know, people that play Hearthstone will get this too. The attacks, you know, work like those, the basic type of card game where you get your set of cards. If you're not starting first, then you'll get extra turn card that you can do to play extra what they call supply, which is how you play cards. You know, one supply, you can play a card that has a one on it. Eight supply, you can play an eight card, 2-4 cards, you know, a bunch of two cards, whatever. And they have cool effects. You know, a lot of things transfer over. If you're used to one game, they'll have they have screen, which that's what you do. You put on if you want to force your opponent to hit only that card and not hit you or hit any other cards. Same, they have, you know, their version of that in Hearthstone. And overall, I like that even things that you don't have to worry about buying. I haven't spent a dime in this game yet. They have daily quests where you can earn not only the Fracta, which is the one that you pay for with real dollars, but you earn in-game credits. And then, like I said, you get booster packs, which comes with decent cards. Sometimes you get a rare. Then you also get these boxes, which adds armor to your avatar. So when you go on your avatar page, you know, they're dressed in their whatever is their default uniform. When you open these boxes, you can put on different armor that change them. Now, this does nothing for you as far as stats or anything. It's just for show, you know. But it's cool when you see someone get, like, some cool-looking gear and their commander looks different than, you know, your commander or other commanders itself. So, as I said, I'm still very new in the game. I'm sure once I play more ranked games and I get higher up in rank, I'll run into those people that have bought, you know, a lot of booster packs or bought a lot of rare cards, and maybe I'll get owned. But I really like the game because you can play for many, many, many hours, even as a complete noob, and enjoy the game before you have to worry about getting owned. Where in Hearthstone, I didn't experience that at all. It's on Steam. I mean, it has like 1,600 reviews, very positive. I've read a little bit about the game, and they've said that, I guess, in the past, it was really popular, and then it kind of died off. They came out with an expansion, which so far it looks like that expansion you'd have to pay to get it. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, you can earn everything slowly if you want. It's like almost any other free-to-play game. If you want it in a hurry, you can pay. But if not, you're casual, you can wait it out and eventually get it. So overall, Star Crusade has been a really cool card game that I can spend a couple of hours on either playing a computer or playing other people and actually able to enjoy the game in peace.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I was like looking at this and yeah, like what you say about Hearthstone, that it's like, it's Hearthstone's a good game, but it's one of those games, like you say, that you can do the tutorial and then it's just like, all right, I'm going to get thrown into this guy that literally has an insane deck and I don't have any chance of surviving, you know? And like you say, like, unless you've played the game and consistently play the game and get all the expansion packs, it's like, you there's no way you're going to make it. Like,
yeah, I can imagine where Hearthstone, when it first came out, right? Everyone has the same amount of cards. Yes, if you start spending money right away, you could boost up.
Yeah.
But at least you could play and get in, and it's not like everyone you're playing as you're trying to rank up is just going to own you. Because, I mean, I'm not kidding when I tell you very first game person has all these legendaries. I don't know if they need to fix it where not only do they scan your rank level, mm-hmm. but they scan your cards, and they're like, look, if this guy have all these legendaries, don't pair him with a brand new guy who also happens to be, you know, lowest rank but has the base set of cards. Like, yeah. to me, that just – it kills it for so many people. I've had lots of people tell me that.
Yeah. And that's the only thing with that game. You know, it was fun when I first started playing it, but it's like I haven't – once it really started getting out of control, I was just like, all right, I'm done. And I don't even play it anymore because it's just like – I'm going to go and play 10 matches and I'm going to lose 9 out of the 10. Nah, it's not fun. You know? But, yeah, I totally see it. Like, there's, it's interesting to see that. Like, what's funny, a good kind of counter offer to you, Mr. I like to play Magic the Gathering. Really good game that I just got introduced to not that long ago, thanks to Will Wheaton's Tabletop YouTube series. A little game called Star Realms.
Ah.
So it is, yes, designed by one of the guys that did Magic the Gathering. And when you sit and play the game, you can see a lot of the, like, kind of, like, stuff that was in Magic that's in this. So you have the five factions, like, almost like the different colored banners. But what's interesting with this is you have the life points like you do have Magic the Gathering, yet it's a deck-building game, which is really fun. And I thought that was, like, really, really interesting. Played it a few times, got two of the decks that they come out with. And what I really love about it is, as opposed to Magic the Gathering, where you got to spend a ton of money to get cards, like 15, 20 bucks, you get one little box, has enough cards in it for two players to play, that's all you need. You want to make it up to four players, you buy another little box, you've got now enough cards for you know, up to four players. And you just keep adding boxes of these cards to continue the adding players too. You can even buy the two different... You know, like I have the original deck and then like one expansion deck, so I can have up to four people play. I can just mix them all together if I wanted to, which is really interesting. But yeah,
I actually developed the maker who, of course, worked on the actual tabletop game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was really interesting. I like that, of course, it's free to play, and the full version is only $4.99 on Steam.
Yeah.
And it's cool that it comes with that. You get 9 new campaign missions, local multiplayer, and an online multiplayer mode. So basically $5, if nothing else, you can get into the game and play a lot of campaign and have fun like that.
Yeah. That's what I think is great about it is you can sit and do that. Like you can essentially, the way that they made it is you can get everything that you can get in the actual card game. On the digital card game, and it's not that expensive too, which is great. Like that's I think what's awesome about it. Yeah, so I have the. Well, let me see. Of the physical cards, I have the original set, and then I have not the bases and battleships, not hero. I have Colony Wars with it. Which is a really good game. I'm probably gonna end up getting the rest of the stuff for it because it's such a fun little game.
Actually, I gotta make a correction. As I see later, it says that the full version is misleading. Apparently, it only unlocks the second campaign, and then it also unlocks medium and hard mode and AI. So it doesn't look like you get all 9. I don't know why it still says that. It says unlock 9 new campaign missions. Maybe that means that you have the ability to buy it. But I see a lot of, you know, thumbs down saying that it's not the full version. If you buy for $5, you only get one more expansion. So I'll do some more research, see if that's really true. But a lot of people are saying that in the most recent reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like looking at that where it was like, Yeah, the full version is $5, and it has the Gambit set for $4. Yeah, so it's like you get the game for free, but if you buy it all, it's like $17, and it gives you all the content. So yeah, it's weird because it's been getting like a lot of like weird thumbs down because they apparently did an update and they changed how some of the stuff works now. So they're like, oh, it's weird. But yeah. So interestingly enough, I was looking over, I was like, what did I want to talk about? And in looking through, I found an interesting trend that were, because I remember before we went on our hiatus, they were doing a Kickstarter for a board game version of Deadly Premonition, which looked interesting. And then I started looking, and I'm like, you know, there's a whole bunch of, when you sit there and you look at it, of actual video games that they've made board games out of. And I've actually found four. So Deadly Premonition is one. They've actually done two separate board games on Dark Souls, which is interesting. One a card game and one an actual miniatures game, which I've heard the miniatures game is insane. And the one that just recently came out with, they just came out with call of This War of Mine. And in looking at one of the reviews for This War of Mine, the board game, they literally, like one of the reviewers said, like he played the board game, he had never heard of the video game, and then got the video game because he played the board game. And he's like, I just wanted to see if there was any differences. And he says that, man, it is the best conversion of a video game down to a board game. And he says the way that they did it is when you play, you have a board that looks like the house that you build up, the colony that you build up in the video game version of it. And you can expand and do that. But instead of you playing as one of the characters, everybody at the table plays cooperatively, and you can move around the different characters in the building. So what's really interesting that he said is when you at night, the night phase of the game, you can decide to send people out to go do side missions. And then based on these like cards that are there, they have numbers on them, and it has this book that depending on what happens, you look up in this book the numbers, and it gives you a little dialogue box of what can happen. And then you have to make a decision, and based on your decision is what your rewards are. And he sat there and he's like, I've played this game about 3 or 4 times. He's like, it's not a happy ending type of board game. He's like, it is just like the computer game where you have to make some tough decisions. And your decisions, like, you know, things happen based on that. And he sat there and said, like, you know, it's just like in the video game. Like, you go to this, like, building that shows up, and you end up finding out that there's this little elderly couple that's hiding out in this building. But they got a stockpile of food. And your option is, like, leave the food there so that they can survive, or do you steal the food so that you guys can survive? And it's really interesting because I remember in the video game, I got that same scenario. Like I came into this house and I heard a sound, and then I looked through the keyhole and I saw this little elderly couple, and I'm like, well, I wonder what would happen. And then like I end up opening the door, and the little elderly guy, I thought I was gonna have to fight him. He's just like, no, we're like, you take whatever you want, but leave for us, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just this, like, sad moment of, like, do I take the food so that my people don't starve, but then this little old couple here is going to starve? Or do I just leave it for them, and then I'll just go do another, like, side mission? Like, it really, like, questions your moral judgment.
What'd you end up doing?
I ended up actually, what did I do? I think I ended up, like, I only took, like, 1 or 2 bits of food, and I left the rest there, like, just enough that, like, my people wouldn't go starving. But it was like this, like, I was ready to, like, all right, look at all this food. And then, like, I see this little old guy, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, this is not right, you know. And it was just like, I've never played a game that literally made me question what one of my decisions would be. Like, it was such an impactful thing, and it was like, wow, like, you never really think of these things. But they say, like, the board game is exactly like that. So, like, you have a tiredness, a hunger, and I think a thirst. And depending on what you do, like, it has different levels of how it goes. So what's interesting is that everybody starts on all three of those on level one. And what happens is, for however many spaces you have open, whatever the least amount you have, that's how many actions you have that turn. So obviously, as you get more thirsty, as you get more hungry, you have less actions that you can do per your turn. And then you can sit there and get food and feed the person, and it lowers down your hunger, your thirst, and all that stuff. And you're tired, like, you have to have them sleep. And it's really interesting on this mechanic that they did. He's like, you find yourself kind of like doing this like juggling game of like, okay, who needs to sleep? Who needs to eat? Who needs to drink? And all this stuff. Just like in the video game of it. To the point where it's gotten me interested. Like, I would like to like find somebody that would have it and just play it just to see what it's like.
I think it's amazing that I found this too. I mean, I grew up playing board games. I actually did some of the Dungeons and Dragons pen and paper. Mm-hmm. And then I got into computer games and I was like, oh, that's it. You know, console games and computer games forever. And now as I get a little bit older, I'll go back now. Like, there's been games that have been on PC and I'm like, that's a board game too? And you actually go and you play the board game and it's not like you feel left out. It's not like you're missing something. You know, it's just as fun, especially if you have a group of people that appreciate it and understand how to play some of these games. Because, you know, some of these games, you got to have the right people for it to be played correctly. I remember playing, like, the Conan game and things like that. And it was, you know, I think 3 years removed from when I was playing the MMO that came out that didn't do so well. So it's really interesting to run across these board games. And, you know, there's so many people that love PC games, love console games, but they have, you know, their board game nights, and it's really a great to see that and see these people come out with such great games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because they even like, what's really, really cool is they even added in a way for, like, if you're playing through a scenario or whatever, like, you can actually save the state that the game's in. So it has you record down what's happening, and then you can sit there and record how far you've gotten, and then you can stop playing it and pick it up later. But it's a really, really interesting, like, what they've done with that game. Because that's the big thing that, like, I've heard. Like, it's really, really difficult to create a board game because of how many moving parts there are. And I've even seen, like, schools that teach game development and all that for video games, that there's, like, if you really want to be, like, have a general grasp and really become a special, like, a really good developer, do a board game first. If you can knock a board game out of the park, you'll have no problem creating games, you know, like video games.
Something I'm curious about, and I'm sure you can answer this. I remember when I was first introduced, I guess, back into these type of board games. I'm talking about somewhere it could be, you know, $50, $60, $70 because you're getting great figurines. It's really an expansive game. But let's say someone is thinking, hey, I want to get into this. What is it like? Let's say you just walked in the store. Let's say you didn't go online and you started asking people. You just walked into, like, your local store and you see all these games. The covers looks great. How do you think someone would go about, like, picking out their starter game to, like, get into the world? Is it based on maybe something that they liked, like either a TV show or a video game or something like that?
Well, so the big thing is that, like you say, you walk into these, like, local game stores and it's just shelves and shelves and shelves of games. The thing about it is I like, my advice is, if you're looking to get into the hobby, definitely go to a friendly local game store. Do not go to, like, a Barnes & Noble or something like that, where they do have games, but you're going to be lost. Because what they will do is, people that work at friendly local game stores are gamers themselves. They've probably played a ton of the games, and they're going to know exactly what to suggest. Reason being is, they're going to sit there and be like, what type of games have you played before? What type of, like, games do you like, let's say? And then at that, they can kind of, like, get a feeling of what you may or may not like. Now, there's a bunch of games that are out there that are going to be, like, the introductory games that people will play. I mean, off the top of my hand, like off the top of my head, if I sit there and I think about it, like Ticket to Ride's a big starter one. You have Alhambra's a really good one of good Euro to start with. Stone Age is another one that's a good worker placement game. And the thing about it is like it is trial and error. You have to sit there and play stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you didn't know if you were going to like Risk or not until you sat down and played it the first time, you know. But the problem is that I kind of tend to tell people that they're kind of new to this is don't go out and buy games right away, because you're going to end up like it's not cheap to buy a lot of these Euro games. And then if you find something that you don't like, it may drive you away from the hobby. And I mean, I've seen it on Craigslist here in Boston, like people buying these like really heavy, heavy games as their first game. And they're like, we didn't understand it or we didn't like it. Like, of course, if you went from playing Monopoly to a game like Arkham Horror, which I've seen a couple of, it's like, you're not going to have a good experience. Like, yes, it's an Ameritrash game, as they call it, but you're not going to have a good experience. There's a lot of moving parts in that game. So it's a thing where, like, definitely go to a friendly local game store. They will guide you in the right way. And I tend to find that you will have people that will get into the hobby and just fall in love with it. Like, if you're a gamer, you're going to like the board gaming just as much as you do video games. And the other big thing I tell people is if you're still not sure, like, you don't want to go to a friendly local game store right away, if your town or there's a game cafe, a board game cafe nearby, go and hang out there, because a lot of those things, they'll have a pretty good collection, and you can kind of get a, you know, hang out there for a couple of hours. You can get a good feel of what there is out there, and you can start to say, okay, I really like these games. And what's cool is they'll have not only those intro games, but they'll have a little bit more advanced games. And then that way, going to one of those Florida friendly local game stores, they'll be like, what do you like? And you're like, well, I played a little bit of this, and then I really started to like this game. And they'll be like, cool, I know what I can suggest to you.
And that's a great point, because I remember, you know, going back to Magic the Gathering, when I started playing it, I started searching locally here in Miami to see if there were groups that were playing it. And I found, wow, they have one here, they have one here, they have one here. And you go there and, you know, yes, it's all geeks and nerds, but you fit in. You know, no one's attacking you if you don't know the game. Like, I was still a noob. You know, I could play against someone who was, like, nice to me. But these guys were playing tournament. They're doing drafts. But still, when they weren't in the game, like, you can't bother them while they're playing. But when they were just, you know, in between or playing casual games, they'll teach you. They'll show you. They'll help you build a deck. They'll give you information. And the same thing with board games. Like, even if you don't have a lot of friends that are into board games, you can still go to some of these places, and they'll be nice. You'll make friends. And like you said, they'll teach you about maybe what games that you might want to get into before you have to spend actual cash yourself.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's really funny, that, like, I went – there's a really great board gaming cafe here in Boston called Night Moves, which has two locations now, which is great. Like, I got to know the owner, like, early on when he first really opened the place. Really nice guy. And it was funny because they got this game that I had been interested in. And it was funny because it was like a heavier Euro game. And I sat down and started playing it, and now the name escapes me. Oh, I gotta look it up. But it was so funny because we're sitting there playing the game. I had no clue what the hell was going on. But they were teaching me it at the same time that they were playing this game. But, like, what really made it interesting was just, like, going through and learning, like, the different little Terra Mystica, that's the name of the game. Like, I had no idea at all, like, what I really needed to work on, and this is what my end goal was. And they kind of gave me the, okay, this is what you're trying to do, you're trying to score the most points by doing X, Y, Z, and da, da, da. As I played through the game, it made sense as stuff was going on. But it was so funny because even while playing it, first time playing it, I did some moves that I ended up blocking off one of the players that knew how to play from getting to what he wanted to do. And he was like, crap, I didn't even think of that, you know. And that was the thing about that game, that I played it, I got my butt handed to me, but I had so much fun with it. you know, and I'm like, man, this is a game that I want to play it again. And it's such a like a great little game, I'm telling you. But yeah, that's definitely like my word of advice for people that, you know, if you want to get into it, definitely friendly local game store. That's where you want to go. They will get plenty of info and get you down the right path. So, but yeah, guys, that's going to do it for this one. It was a good, actually we did good.
Yeah. Short and sweet, but informative.
We did the little short informative ones because we got the twofer, as it were. But yeah, guys, as always, we love to hear your comments in the comment section. We'd love to see those thumbs up. But as always, guys, keep on getting out there, keep on gaming, and enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.
Peace. Thanks for watching.